Look with me quickly. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, God. This is our themes, one of our theme scriptures for the year, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. And we should probably, in addition to the King James, we should also read this from the New Living Translation and the Message. Amen. Amen. The King James says, according as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. The New Living Translation says, by his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who has called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. The Message translation says, everything that goes into a life of pleasing God has been miraculously given to us by getting to know personally and intimately the one who invited us to God, the best invitation we have ever received. Today, I'm doing a little bit of teaching, and it's mostly a recap of a message that was ministered here during our Daniel fast, January the 23rd, 2022, on divine appointments. So what I have is a few notes that I want to go over, and some of it directly from that message and some of it out of some of the further studies that I've done, just a few things that time will allow me to mention to you. I think there are probably like three major things that I would like us to talk about in the short time that we have here. The first part is I want us to talk about the place of the appointment that we have with God and the role that that plays in every other appointment that we have in our future. The divine appointment that Moses had with God set him up for every other divine appointment that had been prepared for his future. I want us to talk about that briefly. I also want us to talk briefly about, of course, Jesus' own divine appointment and change that happens. I also want us to talk about the decision Moses took, the decision he made to turn aside and respond to God's calling, which is what made the difference in everything else that happened in his future. Then I want us to talk about this concept of, you know, we talk about divine approval, but I actually want to break it down and put it under this concept of having repeated divine encounters with God. That the Daniel fast at the beginning of the year is not enough. The Daniel fast, one time of an encounter with God in a year is not enough. Amen. That God has a plan to help us encounter him multiple times during the season. Let's not limit what God will do in our life to the Daniel fast. Amen? Encounters with the Holy Spirit will determine some of the things that God seeks to do in our life. And I want to show you a few scriptures. That the encounter that the Holy Spirit had with the early church was not just a one-time encounter. Amen? And divine approval comes from these encounters that we have with God as we respond to what God is doing. Then I want us to talk about the place of instructions. Because what comes out of divine encounters is divine instructions. And divine instructions are the things that keep you on time, they keep you in line, and they keep you on track. Divine instructions, that's why the Bible says to lay hold on instruction, don't let it go. So we'll talk briefly about that. And then finally, I want us to end up talking about your season of fresh glory. Amen. What you do with the instructions that you receive will determine how much glory comes into your life. Somebody say amen. All right, so let's go. Let's read a couple of scriptures here. And then I'll make a few of my comments. My comments will not be long at all, like I've told you. This message, we got it transcribed. And I think we already gave you directions. If you want to have it, you know, you can very easily download it and go through it yourself. I'm just basically doing what I sense very strongly in my spirit to do here when we have a very major impartation from the Lord. I don't want to just pass on and move on to other things. I want us to dig into it and get everything that God has for us from it. Amen. All right, so let's read Exodus chapter 3. We're going to read from verse 1 all the way to verse 10 here. Then we'll read a couple of other scriptures before I give you my notes. All right, Exodus 3 from verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why is the bush not burnt? And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And God said to him, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off your feet, for the place whereon you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. And I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large land that is flowing with milk and honey. Go to verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Amen. Let's go and read from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. The gospel according to Luke and chapter 9. This was the transfiguration experience of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's read from verse 28. I'm going to read this real quickly. And it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered and his raiment was white and glistering. That's change. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that were with him. I pray that you are not asleep when God visits. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things that they had seen. I want you to back up a little bit and go to Luke chapter 3. Because what happened when this voice came from heaven, that was not the only time it happened. It happened earlier when Jesus was being baptized by John the Baptist in Luke chapter 3. So let's read that as well. Luke chapter 3, and let's read verse 21 and 22. Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in a bodily shape, like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. Amen. 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 Somebody say amen. Amen. Now there's a paragraph here, if you ever downloaded that thing, one of the earlier paragraphs, and I just want to read this. This isn't really much of what I want to focus on, but I want to say it in the light of some of the things that are going on in the world. It says, so while the world is raging and while there is a devastation going on all around the world, so much confusion, so much turmoil, so much disaster, you see how listless and how tired everybody seems to be. There's so much hopelessness. Even people in government sometimes don't know what to do, but he will be your Jehovah everything. Amen. Amen. He will be your Jehovah everything. And I know we don't have Ukrainians or Russians or people in other parts of the world that are going through maybe situations of war amongst us. But I just want you to be assured, no matter what is going on around your life, he will be your divine everything. Amen. God is never caught by surprise. Amen. Everything that happens in our lives, he saw them coming before they happened. Amen. He's never unaware. Amen. And he will be with us in our difficulties. He will be with us. He will be our Jehovah everything. He will be your divine appointment, your divine approver. He will be your divine reality, your divine interruption, your divine... He will be your divine everything. Amen. And if what we are dealing with is not war, if it's health, God will be our divine healer. Amen. If what we need is help, God will be our divine favor. He will be, I just want us to establish that, he will be our divine everything. Regardless of what is going on in our lives, he will be our divine everything. Now keep in mind that the first divine appointment that we have is with God and his purpose for our lives. That divine appointment will open us up to the other divine appointments that have been prepared for us by God. This is really important, and I don't really want to spend a lot of time talking about it, but I want us to pay attention to the fact that God has mapped out every aspect of our destiny. God has mapped out every aspect of our future. And God bless you. On this map that the Lord has drawn up, you know, in that confession card, you see where it says the stack of blessings prepared for this season and every season of my life is manifesting speedily. So God, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good, not of evil. To bring you to an expect. Sometimes we don't understand everything going on in our lives, but we can rest assured God has a plan for us. Yeah. Now, in this plan, God has a part and we have a part. God is our divine everything, but we must be able to respond to God. We must be able to hear the voice of God. When God says go right, we must go right. When God says go left, we must go left. It's not all up to God. Yes, it's our divine everything, but we have a part to play in this. And we have said this over and over again. It just bears repetition. I need to say it again. The decision Moses made to step aside and to respond to God was the key to everything that God could do in his life. Yeah. This divine appointment we have with God, that divine appointment is the key to every other appointment that God has arranged for our future. Amen. The divine appointment we have with God is the key to every other appointment. Now, I know we all look for divine favor. We look for divine interruption, divine outpourings, divine orchestration. We look for all of those things. But the key to all of those things is our divine appointment with God. In our place of interaction with God. In our place of yielding and responding to God. Amen. That's where all those things that have been prepared become a reality in our lives. This is so important. Now, I know that our time of fasting at the beginning of the year is usually a very powerful time. It's usually a very significant time. It's a time of encounter with God. But that's not the only encounter God wants to have with us as his people, for all of us who went through that. Amen? Amen. I know if you went through it and if you did what you were supposed to do, one of the things that was produced out of that Daniel fast was change. Mm-hmm. Amen. The Lord would have said, I want you to change this, or I want you to tweak this, or I want you to move forward in this. I want you to do this more, do that less. And as we respond to God, we find more of his favor. We find more of his blessings. Amen. This is the key. The key is responding to God. The key is responding to God. Do you know, like we said in some of the Wednesday teachings, do you know how many times God calls people's attention and they don't pay attention? God, I want you to do this, and they just walk by it. I need you to do that, and they just keep going. Because human beings, you know, we are creatures of habits. And habits are very difficult to break. Amen. Amen. Do I have a living church here in Abundant Life today? Yes. Habits are very difficult to break. Yes. Once you form a habit, it's very difficult to break it. There are people, once you get used to doing something in certain ways, it's very difficult to interrupt it. Which is why a lot of people find it difficult to respond to God. So when God says, okay, you've been doing this way all of these years, but I need you to make a change this year. Our being able to step into the things that God has for us is incumbent on our responding to that instruction. Stepping aside, that's what Moses did. He stepped aside. And when he steps aside, God said, hey, I'm the one you've been looking for. You just didn't know it. Amen. That's our divine appointments. Now, this divine appointments and encounters with the Holy Spirit, you see there where we read where Jesus was baptized by John and the heavens were open and the Holy Spirit came down upon him like a dove. Now, the Holy Spirit is really, he's the agent of divine approval. He's the one who God uses to approve of our lives. The Holy Spirit is the one. So, a life relationship with the Holy Spirit will go a long way to determine how much of God we can experience. A life experience, life fellowship, life encounter with the Holy Spirit will go a long way to determine how much of God we can actually experience in our lives. Amen. Amen. Remember, this one encounter Jesus had was not the only one he had. We saw the one he had in Luke chapter 3. Then we saw the one he had in Luke chapter 9. It was the same thing. The Holy Spirit speaking through the voice. This is my beloved in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. And I think we should probably do that. Just do that for a couple of minutes here. Look at a few of the instances where some people actually had a direct encounter with the Holy Spirit. Let me pause here as I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say, this is my year for ongoing interaction with the Holy Spirit. Say that again. This is my year for ongoing interaction with the Holy Spirit. Look at some of these scriptures here. Let's look at it. You might not be able to open all of them real quick, but I'm sure they will be on the screen. Look at Luke chapter 1. Let's just look at the role of the Holy Spirit in some of these people, some of these people's lives, the role of the Holy Spirit in some of the people in the early church, and how those incidences were not one and done. I should probably read this from my notes here. Determine that the Daniel fast experience will not be a one and done thing for you this year. Amen. Expect to encounter God over and over at strategic times as the year proceeds, like the early church did. Expect to encounter God over and over at strategic times as the year proceeds, like the early church did. The Daniel fast should not be a one and done thing. Our encounter with the Holy Spirit then should not be that's it for 2022. We wait again until 2022. No. There should be repeated encounters with you. Doesn't mean you have to fast every time for that to happen. But it does mean you have to set aside your time. You have to make time for the Lord. You have to prioritize your interaction with Him. Amen. I want you to just look at some of these scriptures. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 35. This was Mary, and then we read Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1. And the angel, verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing that will be born of you will be called the Son of God. That was Mary's own encounter with the Holy Spirit. In verse 41, this was Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That was Elizabeth's own encounter with the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, this is my year for repeated encounters with the Holy Spirit. I can't live a life that is devoid of encounters with the Holy Spirit. I can't go through this year, another year, devoid of encounters with the Holy Spirit. Look at it. And every time the Holy Spirit encountered them, He did something remarkable in their lives. He did something remarkable in their lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's look at some of the other scriptures. Zechariah encountered the Holy Spirit too. Luke 1:67. If you are still there in Luke chapter 1, look at verse 67. He said, and his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he began to prophesy. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He began to prophesy. Amen. Let's go to Acts of the Apostles. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's look at verse 1 to 4. Now, I want you to see the repeated nature of some of the encounters that this early church had with the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Something has to change. I said something has to change. Make a confession of faith. Something has to change in my life this year. Can't be business as usual. Something has to change in my life this year. It will not be business as usual. Something has to change in my life this year. Look at it. Acts chapter 2 from verse 1 to 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with all manner of other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Amen. That was a major encounter. But that was not the last one. Let's go to Acts chapter 4 and look at verse 8. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8. These same disciples, these same apostles that were filled in Acts chapter 2, look at Acts chapter 4 verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, he began to speak unto them. He said unto them, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel. He was already filled in Acts chapter 2. Had an encounter with the Holy Spirit. Here we are in Acts chapter 4. He has another encounter with the Holy Spirit. It was not a one and done thing. It was repeated encounters at different points in our lives.
The Holy Spirit wants to encounter us, to guide us, to steer us, to direct us, so he can manifest divine everything in our lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I say hallelujah.
Amen.
Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 31. I can't read the long passage. Just look at verse 31. Acts chapter 4. Same disciples, same ones. Verse 31. And when they prayed, the place was shaken. We know this one came after prayer. So prayer is powerful. Watch out for what happens when you pray. Especially when you pray directed by the Holy Spirit. When you pray orchestrated by the... Something happens. Something happens. When you pray and it's Holy Spirit taking over, something happens. Something happens. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled. This is why I believe, if you wonder sometimes, this is why I believe in the power of corporate prayer. This is why in this ministry, we believe in the power of corporate prayer. In this ministry, we pray more than we sing. I'm sorry, I heard you. We pray more than we do most other things. The only thing we do more than we pray in this ministry is the word, the ministry of the word. Those two things are the two cardinal things, ministries, that occupy the central core of our vision. We pray. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the prayer. Sometimes when people are calling, people are, you know, look, they have a crisis. They are trying to solve the crisis. They are calling different people they know. Before we call anybody, we pray. The first thing we do is pray. Sometimes you look at us and you think we don't have problems. Because all you see is we are praying. It's like, aren't they going to solve the problem? Well, we are praying. Because we believe in the power of corporate prayer. And I know you cannot survive in this ministry if you don't believe in prayer. You will drop off. It won't be long, you will drop off. You will not make it. If you don't believe in corporate, because think about it, in this service alone, think how many times we prayed. We prayed at the beginning, opening prayer, right? Then as we were going, as you know, we prayed during praise and worship. We prayed after praise and worship. We prayed during the offering. I mean, think all the places where we prayed. We prayed for March babies. Didn't we? We blessed the offering, we prayed. Come on, think about all the places where we prayed. Then we finished with that. We came and took the offering, sang. And while we were singing, we were praying again. The people who were singing were praying. Did you hear they were prophesying to us? Philippians chapter 2 verse 9 says, because we're praying. And then we finish with that, then we say, oh, let's pray over the vision.
Yes.
Then these people came with heavy prayer again. Like we have not been praying. We have been praying, but they are still praying. Hallelujah. Then we finish praying over the vision. We got up and said, we are praying for Ukraine.
Yes.
If you don't believe in prayer, you will not last. You will not make it. Because we believe in the power of prayer. Why? Because it's our divine everything. Prayer is how we connect with him. Prayer is how we move his hands. Prayer is how the Holy Spirit breathes upon us. Prayer is how things change. Prayer is how things happen. Hallelujah. We believe in the power of prayer. Oh, my. Oh, my. And if you don't want your prayer to be answered, don't send it to us. If you don't want your prayer to be answered, don't send it to us. Because God answers our prayers. God answers. That's why I took almost a whole year last year, every Wednesday, teaching on prayer. All of 2021, almost the entire year, I counted, it was 9 straight months, teaching on prayer. See, because prayer is not just people think prayer is just, oh, we just pray. It's 1 o'clock. Oh, okay. Somebody say we believe in prayer. You can tell.
Yes.
You can see now I got passionate talking about it.
Yes.
Oh, I believe in prayer. Oh, I believe in the power of prayer. Oh, I believe. Oh, I believe. God, I believe. Oh, I believe. There's nothing prayer cannot change. Oh, I know it. You don't know the places where we have been. You don't know the things we have dealt with. I believe in the power of prayer. All we need to do, we just need to lift up our voice and call upon our Father. He listens, He hears, He moves, He acts every single time. Every single time. Oh, I believe in the power of prayer. Oh, we believe in the power of prayer. Prayer. We pray in the morning, we pray in the afternoon, we pray in the night. We pray on Monday, we pray on Tuesday, we pray. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. That's why these encounters with the Holy Spirit are so important. God, it's 1 o'clock. I think we should have communion. Don't worry, I'll continue next week. I thought I was going to complete everything today, but that's fine. We'll continue next week. But we do believe, maybe that's all the Lord wanted me to say today. Please, please. Encounter the times of encounter with the Holy Spirit. Don't, please, please. Don't give up your time of prayer for grocery shopping. Don't give up your time of prayer for talking with your BFF on the phone. Don't give up your, please, please. I want you to esteem encounters with the Holy Spirit. Something happens when people pray. When God's people pray, my friends, something happens. We pray about every little thing. Every little thing. Jesus. We pray about every little thing. So He is our divine everything. He works. God is involved in every area of your life. Don't leave Him out of any area. Don't say, oh, this one is too natural. No. Bring Him in. Bring Him in. You can take communion here. This happened just a few weeks ago. We experienced this. We were going on this trip. And one of our vehicles, which is really, to all intents and purposes, almost a brand new vehicle, suddenly came up on the dashboard. You know, your check engine light. You know, when check engine light comes up, it's a bad sign. But we were committed to the trip. There were things that were scheduled for the trip that were, and there's just no turning back. Got on the freeway, and the light came on right. I mean, light came on right as soon as I got on that freeway. And I know that some of those cars where sometimes it has to do with gas, like if you don't tighten your gas, your cap, you know, different little, tiny little, it might be something little. So I stopped, went and checked that, when light stayed on. And I think this was like an 8-hour trip, that one. After that 8-hour trip, there was another 10-hour trip. And after that 10-hour trip, another 8 hours, all away from Ohio. So once you leave, if something happens, you are stuck on that trip. I mean, we're talking how many hours? This is like maybe 2,000 miles, thereabout-ish. And I would not do that. I just don't do things like that. I believe in excellence. I believe in paying attention to things that matter because, you know, you don't want to have to deal with problems that come because you were irresponsible. But I remember checking the gas cap and all that. So I parked. So I said, Lord, this is your car. You directed us to go on this trip. You gave us release to go on this trip. It's scheduled. There are important things we have to accomplish on this trip. We get on the road. We're going. We trust you. Touch this car. Protect this car. Take us and bring us back in the name of Jesus. I got in the car and started driving. The first major trip, 8 hours, he stayed on. Stopped to get gas, tried everything, stayed on. Okay. I'll check it, stayed on. When I got to that first major city, I called the dealership there.
Because we still had, like I told you, there's like another 10 hour. I called that dealer. I said, tell me about this light. And he said, you know what? You know, the supply chain problems. We don't even have someone who can check it up for you. You can't bring it in. I said, if that light stays on and it's yellow and it's not flashing and it doesn't turn red, you can keep driving it. All right. So you can, the earliest appointment we can find for you sometime in March. So then again, second prayer. Lord, this car. I'm talking to you about the power of prayer. I'm talking to you about the power of prayer. This is not religion. This is not tradition. God is a mighty God and he works in the affairs of men. So, we got together and said, Lord, this car, we trust you for it. So, before Pastor Tino and I went on that 10-hour one, Lord, we trust you. We look up to you. We are not doing this because we are irresponsible. They can't even take it in. They can't. Lord, your angels, send your angels. Whatever needs to happen, whatever you need to do, do it, Lord. And we prayed and got in the car. 10 hours. Finished everything. Got back to that city. And then I called our dealership here. And they said, okay, so they could give me an earlier appointment before the end of March. But even then, I still had to get the car back here to Ohio. So we finished and we went on that. We finished with that, got home safely, got back on the final leg of the trip. You know, we're talking, you know, how many miles did I say? About 2,000 miles. And that night, as soon as we drove in to the gas station right here in Ohio, it started flashing. I'm telling you, this is not, did I lie? As soon as we arrived at the gas station, right there, 5 minutes from home, as soon as we truly, it did not even flash on the freeway. As soon as I pulled, no, seriously, God is my witness. As soon as I got off the freeway and said, oh, I'm almost out of gas, I need to get gas, and I turned into the gas station, immediately started flashing. That's what they said. Drive it, but if it starts flashing or it turns red, don't drive. Can you imagine what would have happened if it started flashing when I was 15 hours away, thousands of miles away, and this car was so loaded, we loaded. You know, when we travel, we have office in there. We have house. No, truly. There's refrigerator. It's like a caravan. It's like, RV, thank you. It's like RV. Has everything you need. Everything you need. So can you imagine? But God is a prayer answering God. Yes. You just need to ask him. You just need to have faith and ask him. Don't say, oh, God isn't concerned about it. He is concerned about it. Do you want the devil? You want the devil to determine what happens in any area of your life because you say God is not concerned about it? Oh, we believe in prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. The Bible says after they prayed, the place was shaken. The place was shaken. Please prioritize your encounters with the Holy Spirit. Prioritize your prayer life. Bring him in. Invite him. Don't say it's not. It's important. Everything is important. You feel any pain in one joint, in one thing, pray. Amen. Say, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Say, Lord, this joint, you gave it to me. You gave me this joint. I didn't create this joint. You created this joint. This pain, in the name of Jesus, I command Jesus. He is my divine healer. He is my divine everything. This Lord, heal me. Show me what I need to. Is there something I need to do? Is there something I'm missing? Am I doing something too much? Show me. Pray.
Pray. And he will show you. Little things. Little things. Your health. Exercise. Physical well-being. All those things. Your money. Your relationships. Your family. Your children. Bring him in. Say, Lord, I commit these children into your hands. I didn't create these children. You gave them to me. You gave me these children. Lord, these children. Lord, these children. Woo, Jesus. We believe in the power of prayer. Next week, let's close. We have to do communion. We're headed to Chicago. We're gonna be in a concert. Edie's choir team are hosting Ty Tribbett, right? And of course, you know, their students is usually quite big and everything. So we're gonna be going there. And he's responsible for a lot of the planning, a lot of the arrangement, a lot of the connecting, a lot of the money, the admin, organizing, and leading the choir, and preparing the choir for the concert. And he's a full-time student. And when we talk with him, you know, that Sunday, we could see, you know, it was FaceTime, we could see he's beginning to struggle. There's so much weight on his shoulders. And you know, young people usually don't like to tell you it's too much. They say, how is it? How are you doing? Say, well, yeah, this is the way Edie talks. I feel like I'm around like that line where it's like a little, just. he won't say it's too much. He said, but I just think it's around that line. Okay. There's academics, the pressure was so much. We saw him, we felt sorry for him. As parents, that's how you feel. We felt sorry for him. And at the same time, we didn't want him not doing it. Because these are things for the kingdom of God. You know, imagine all the people that are going to be blessed, students are going to minister to, and all of them. Ty Tribbett too. It's a big name, gospel name. So on the phone, after we said, let's pray. We're going to pray for you. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer, Jesus. We said, let's pray. Right there with FaceTime, we started to pray for him. We brought all the different parts because we understood everything. Different parts. And so we brought everything and prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And when we finished, in Jesus' name, amen. And then through the week, you know, we'll pray. You know, I remember Pastor Tino brought it up. Wow. Every day, you know, let's pray for Edie. Every day, yeah, we kept praying. By the time we talked to him, the 1 week later, my brothers and sisters, everything was fixed.
Amen.
Everything. Amen. I'm telling you, those things that even seem, there was even one part of it that just seemed, how do you get around this? By the time we talked to him, he had a smile on. Oh, we said, we've been praying for you every day. He said, I felt it. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe. So your encounters with the Holy Spirit, prioritize them. It's not just that they just shout like crazy people. No, we're not just shouting, we believe. And it's working.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, say it worketh. Tell them, say it worketh. Say it produce it. Say the evidence is easy to see because it worketh. Stand to your feet. Let's close. Let's close. We're going to have communion. Let's close. Oh, we believe. We believe. Come on. Every area. Don't leave anything out. Your health, your finances, your relationships. Don't leave anything out. Don't leave anything out. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. The Holy Spirit, He will direct us. He will orchestrate it. He will stir us. He will show us what we need to see. when we encounter him, our divine appointments will produce glory. They will produce favor. They will produce change. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. Come on, bring him in now. Invite him before we take communion. Say, Lord, this year, repeated encounters with you. That's what I'm looking for. Repeated encounters. Not a one and done thing. Not just Daniel fast. Repeated encounters. Repeated encounters. Where I hear your voice. Where I see your hands. Where I know your will. Repeated encounters with the Holy Spirit. That's what I'm looking for. That's what I'm looking for. Oh, we believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in God. He's our Jehovah everything. We believe in our God. Hallelujah. He can fix anything. He can deal with any situation. There is nothing that is too hard for him. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. Don't leave him out. Don't leave him out. Invite him in. He can do anything. He can do it. He can do it. He can do it. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, we pray for our communion elements. We lift them up before you today. These elements, God, they symbolize the ultimate sacrifice that the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Master, that he did on the cross of Calvary. They symbolize his death. They symbolize his burial. They symbolize his resurrection. His body that was broken for us. His blood that was spilled and shed for us. So Lord, as we take this element, as we take this communion element, this covenant element, let them speak for us. Let them speak for us. Let them produce in our lives. In the name of Jesus, as we get together with you, with our families, with our children, Lord, with just Lord, we get together with you in this divine encounter of this communion. Let something happen. Let yokes be destroyed. Let miracles happen. Let darkness be dispelled. Let provision be released. Through this communion, through this divine encounter we have with you, do something unprecedented in the lives of your people. Do something uncommon. Do something uncommon. We trust you for it. We trust you for it. And we thank you. And we thank you. And we thank you. We trust you for it. And we thank you. We trust you for it. And we thank you. We trust you for it. And we thank you. We trust you for it. And we thank you. Come on, wherever you are today, in this room, online, wherever you are, begin to prepare your heart for this covenant encounter in the name of Jesus. Things happen through covenant encounters like this. You may say it's not just communion. We're bringing him in. We're bringing him in. Everything that he died for, we're bringing him in. We're bringing him in. Everything he died for. Provision, protection, direction, instruction. We're bringing him in.
We look up to you, Father. We trust you, O God. We believe you. Thank you for it. Thank you for it, O God. Thank you for it, O God. Thank you for it, O God. This one is a different one. This is a different communion. There's something with this communion, this particular communion. There's something with it. The blood of Jesus is going to speak up for you. The blood of Jesus is going to speak up for you. The blood of Jesus is going to speak up for you. The blood of Jesus is going to speak up for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Is there something you need this month? Is there something you need the Lord to do this month? We say He's Jehovah everything, but is there something specific you need Him to do for you this month? This is your moment. Bring it before Him. This blood will speak for you. This blood will rise up and speak for you. This precious blood of the risen Savior will rise up and speak for you. Father, we thank you. We thank you, God. We thank you, God. There's something in my spirit about the children. I don't know what it is. I don't have absolute clarity about it. I don't have complete clarity about it. But there's something stirring in my spirit today about the children. I want you to cover every child. The ones we know amongst us and the ones that are connected to us out there. Let's cover them in the name of Jesus. Let's bring them under this divine covering. Let's bring them under this divine covering. The Bible says our children will be taught of the Lord, His covenant of peace He will never remove from them. Listen to me. All through the pandemic and all through even post-pandemic, depression and suicide has taken hold in many lives, in the lives of many young people. I want you, by this covenant encounter, to shield the ones that are connected with you. The ones that are connected. Every young person connected with you. I want you to shield them completely from every satanic assault, every depression, every suicidal tendency. Shield them completely from it. Emotional weariness. Minds that get warped and confused. We shield them. Satan, you can't penetrate. You can't get in there. We speak the Zoe life of God upon the children. In the name of Jesus, upon every part of them, their spirit, their soul, their mind, their emotion, their physical well-being, we speak the Zoe life of God upon the young people. You shield them. You surround them with faith and love. Surround them with faith and love. that God will put people on their path to do them good. Their teachers, friends, family association. God will put people around them to do them good. Nobody will do them wrong. Nobody will do them wrong and hurt their spirit. Nobody will break their resolve, break their courage, break their will, break their dream, break their destiny. In the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you so much. We bless your holy name. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise. Thank you for this covenant encounter. We receive it with open hearts, with humility, with courage, with confidence. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name.